Magandang umaga. Now we go to 1936, December 16. I've offered this day for Russia. I've offered all my sufferings and prayers for that poor country. Poor doesn't mean financially. Poor means they don't have God. After Holy Communion, Jesus said to me, I cannot suffer the country any longer. Do not tie my hands, my daughter. That means there will be punishment. But Sister Faustina is praying hard. So tie the hand of Jesus cannot put any, you know, revenge on that country. It's a way of saying. I understood that if I had not been for the prayers of souls that are pleasing to God, that whole nation would have already been reduced to nothingness. Oh, how I suffer for that nation which has banished God from its borders. Oh, inexhaustible spring of divine mercy, pour yourself out upon us. Your goodness knows no limits. Confirm, O Lord, the power of your mercy over the abyss of my misery, for you have no limits to your mercies. Wonderful and matchless is your mercy, astonishing the human and angelic mind. My guardian angel told me to pray for a certain soul. And in the morning, I learned that it was a man whose agony had begun that very moment. The Lord Jesus makes it known to me in a special way when someone is in need of my prayer. I especially know when my prayer is needed by a dying soul. This happens more often now than it did in the past. The Lord Jesus gave me to know how very pleasing to him is a soul who lives in accordance with the will of God. It thereby gives very great glory to God. So whenever we do the will of God faithfully, it's pleasing God. It's our prayer. I have come to understand today that even if I did not accomplish any of the things the Lord is demanding of me, I know that I shall be rewarded as if I had fulfilled everything, because he sees the intention with which I begin. And even if he had called me to himself today, the work would not suffer at all by that, because he himself is the Lord of both the work and the worker. My part is to love him. All workers are nothing more than a tiny drop before him. His love that has meaning and power and merit. He has opened up great horizons in my soul. Love compensates for the chasm. It's a very important intention. Even you could not do it, but with the intention, you will have the merit. December 17, 1936. I've offered this day for priests. I've suffered more today than ever before, both interiorly and exteriorly. I did not know it was possible to suffer so much in one day. I tried to make a holy hour, in the course of which my spirit has a taste of the bitterness of the Garden of Gethsemane. I'm fighting alone, supported by his arm, against all the difficulties that face me like unassailable walls. But I trust in the power of his name, and I fear nothing. So learn to have this trust in divine mercy, whatever your problems. In this seclusion, Jesus himself is my master. He himself educates and instructs me. I feel that I am the object of his special action for his inscrutable purposes and unfathomable decrees. He unites me to himself in a special way and allows me to penetrate his incomprehensible mysteries. There is one mystery which unites me with the Lord, of which no one, not even angels, may know. And even if I wanted to tell of it, I would not know how to express it. And yet I live by it, and will live by it forever. This mystery distinguishes me from every other soul here on earth or eternity. Some special pain, maybe some suffering, they can express. It's different. Each our cross is different. Each one of us is different. O bright and clear day of which all my dreams will be fulfilled, O day eagerly desired, the last day of my life, I look forward with joy to the last stroke of the divine artist will trace on my soul, which will give my soul a unique beauty that will distinguish me from the beauty of other souls. O great day, of which divine love will be confirmed in me. On that day, for the first time, I shall sing before heaven and earth the song of the Lord's faithfulness mercy. This is my work and the mission which the Lord has destined for me from the beginning of the world, that a song of my soul may be pleasing to the Holy Trinity. Do you, O Spirit of God, direct and form to my soul yourself. Arm myself with patience and await your coming, O merciful God, and as to the terrible pains and fear of death. At this moment, more than any other moment, I trust in the abyss of your mercy and am reminding you, O Lord, sweet Savior, of all the promises you have made to me. That means his soul is very painful. He's just yearning only for Jesus. This morning I had an adventure. My watch had stopped and I didn't know when to get up. And I thought of what a misfortune it would be to miss Holy Communion. It was still dark, so I had no way of knowing whether it was time to get up. I dressed, made my meditation, and went to the chapel. But everything was still locked, and silence reigned everywhere. I steeped myself in prayer, especially for the sick. I now see how much the sick have need of prayer. Finally, the chapel was opened. I found it difficult to pray because I was already feeling very exhausted. And immediately after Holy Communion, I returned to my room. Then I saw the Lord, who said to me, "Know, my daughter, that the ardor of your heart is pleasing to me. And just as you desire ardently to become united with me in Holy Communion, so too do I decide to give myself wholly to you. And as a reward for your seal, rest on my heart." You see, Sue is so sick and just yearning for Holy Communion. And we, where is our heart? We want to sleep as long as possible. You know, she's getting up early, she didn't know the time. But your heart is going to Jesus. At that moment, my spirit was immersed in his being, like a drop of bottomless ocean. I drank myself in him and in my soul treasure. Thus I came to recognize that the Lord allows certain difficulties for His greater glory. So anything you suffer, Jesus knows it. Don't tell yourself you're alone. You're never alone. Jesus knows everything. Jesus wants us to share His love, His pain. December 18, 1936. Today I felt bad that a week had gone by and no one had come to visit me. You see, the sick people want to be visited. Mm-hmm. She is a holy person, still yearning for this kind of accompaniment, no? For people waiting, visitors, the whole week, nobody. So much so, maybe your parents at home, maybe sometimes she's sick and thinking of you and and could not see you for a whole year. You can imagine. Even little fever, they think about you, and then, you know, pray for them at least. But when I complained to the Lord, He answered, "Isn't it enough for you that I visit you every day?" Jesus says, although nobody visit you, but I, is that enough? I apologized to the Lord and the hurt vanished. Oh God, my strength, you are sufficient for me. There are times when you feel lonely, 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 lonely. Jesus will tell you, am I not with you? And you complain, complain, complain. This evening I learned that the son and soul was in need of my prayer. I prayed fervently, but felt that this was still not enough. So I continued to pray for a longer time. On the following day, I learned that the agony of my son and soul had started at just that time, and it continued until morning. I recognized what struggles it had gone through. In a strange way, the Lord Jesus makes known to me that a dying soul has need of my prayer. I feel vividly and clearly that Spirit who is asking me for prayer. I was not aware that souls are so closely united, and often it is my guardian angel who tells me. During Holy Mass, this little even Jesus brings joy to my soul. Often distance does not exist. I see a certain priest who brings him down. I'm awaiting Christmas with great yearning. I'm living in expectation together with the Most Holy Mother. O Light Eternal, who come to this earth, enlighten my mind and strengthen my will that I may not give up in times of great affliction. May your light dissipates all the shadows of doubts. May your omnipotence act through me. I trust in you, O uncreated light. You, O even Jesus, are a model for me in accomplishing your Father's will. You who said, "Behold, I come to do your will," grant that I also may do God's will faithfully in all things. O Divine Infant, grant me this grace. That will be done. Be always in your heart, in your mouth. Tell the Lord, that will be done. Well, my Jesus, my soul was yearning for the days of trial, but do not leave me alone in the darkness of my soul. Rather, do you hold me firmly close to yourself? Set a guard over my lips so that the fragrance of my sufferings may be known and pleasing to you alone. Only to Jesus. No complaint to other people. No phone call. O merciful Jesus, how longingly you hurried to the upper room to consecrate the host that I am to receive in my life. Jesus, you decide to dwell in my heart. Your living blood unites with mine. Who can understand this close union? My heart encloses within itself the Almighty, the Infinite One. O Jesus, continue to grant me your divine life. Let your pure and noble blood throb with all its might in my heart. I give you my whole being. Transform me into yourself and make me capable of doing your holy will in all things and of returning your love. O my sweet spouse, you know that my heart knows no one but you. You have opened up to my heart an inaccessible depth of love for you. From the very first moment I knew you, my heart has loved you and has lost itself in you as its one and only object. May your pure and omnipotent love be the driving force of all my actions. Who will ever conceive and understand the depth of mercy that has gushed forth from your heart? I've experienced how much envy there is even in religious life. I see there are few truly great souls ready to trample on everything that is not God. Also, you will find no beauty outside of God. Oh, how fragile is the foundation of those who elevate themselves at the expense of others. What a loss. So envy, he said, is still in the common. So much so in the society. Don't feel bad because people is envy of you. And you have this kind of envy towards others. The kind of late natural. But keep Jesus strong. That's what we think. Save you. Otherwise, you will never have peace, either from yourself or by others. There's always, even the religious order. She felt that. She felt the people, how they treat her. You can imagine. She didn't write. You can imagine the nurse, the people, the superior. They found her strange. So special. In a certain sense, she's so weak. She needs so much rest. December 1936. This evening, I felt in my soul that a certain person did of my prayer. Immediately, I began to pray. Suddenly, I realized intuitively that I am aware of who the Spirit is, who is asking this of me. I pray until I feel at peace. There is great help for the dying in this chapel. I often pray for any intention that I have learned of interiorly. I always pray until I experience in my soul that a prayer has had its effect. So praying for the sick is also, you know, when you know some people sick and says divine chaplet, no? Divine mercy chaplet is very good for before dying person. Usually now I went to visit the sick, even though they don't know the prayer. I save the people in a shorter form than the rosary. It's quicker. One thing is quicker, but another thing is very meaningful. Short form, and they understand meaning. Speak loudly, that a dying person, the sick person can hear, and that their heart be trust in the Lord. Especially now, when I'm in this hospital, I experience an inner communion with the dying who ask me for prayer when the agony begins. God has given me a wondrous contact with the dying. Since this has been happening more frequently, I have been able to verify it even to the exact hour someone's in agony, she's praying. Today I was awakened suddenly at 11 o'clock at night and clearly felt the presence near me of some spirit who was asking me for prayer. Some force simply compelled me to pray. My vision is purely spiritual, by means of a sudden light that God grants me at that moment. I keep on praying until I feel peace in my soul, and not always for an equally long time, because sometimes it happens that with one Hail Mary, I'm already at peace. Sometimes maybe the whole rosary and not yet. Yes. And then I say the profundis and pray no longer. The profundis is the psalm for the dying. And sometimes it happens that I pray the entire chaplet, only then feel at peace. I've also discovered that if I feel constrained to pray for a longer time, this say I experience interior unrest, the soul is undergoing a greater struggle and is going through a longer final agony. That means when she has peace, the person, whoop, out. This is how I have verified the exact time. I have a watch and look to see what time it is. On the following day, when they tell me about that person's death, I ask them about the time. And it exactly corresponds as does the length of the person's last agony. They say to me, such and such a person died today, but she passed away quickly and peacefully. It sometimes happens that the dying person is in the second or third building away, yet for the spirit, space does not exist. It sometimes happens that I know about death occurring several hundred kilometers away. This has happened several times with regard to my family and relatives and also sisters in religion, and even souls whom I have not known during their lifetime. So especially also praying for the family members. So you can do that, no? And you got some news that some of your parents or relatives or children sick, pray until you are at peace. O God of faithfulness, mercy, who allows me to give relief and help to the dying by my unworthy prayer, be blessed as many thousand times as there are stars in the sky and drops of water in all the oceans. Let His mercy resound throughout the orbit of the earth, and let it rise to the foot of your throne, giving praise to the greatest of your attributes, that is, your incomprehensible mercy. O Lord, this unfathomable mercy entrusts anew all the holy souls and all the spirit of heaven. These pure spirits are immersed in holy amazement as they glorify the inconceivable mercy of God, which in turn arouses even greater admiration in them, and their praise is carried out in a perfect manner. O eternal God, how ardently I desire to glorify these greatest of your attributes, namely your unfathomable mercy. I see all my littleness and cannot compare myself to the heavenly beings who praise the Lord's mercy with holy admiration. But I too have found a way to give perfect glory to the incomprehensible mercy of God. Now, praise. O most sweet Jesus, who have dined to unout miserable me to gain a lot of your unfathomable mercy. O most sweet Jesus, who have graciously demanded that I tell the whole world of your incomprehensible mercy. This day I take into my hands the two rays that spring from your merciful heart, that is the blood and the water, and I scatter them all over the globes, so that each soul may receive your mercy, and having received it, may glorify it for endless ages. O most sweet Jesus, who in your incomprehensible kindness have died to unite my wretched heart to your most merciful heart, It is with your will, your own heart, that I glorify God, my Father, our Father. And no soul has ever glorified him before. So we get a Faustina, we give praise to the Lord, the divine mercy, you know. That's 1936. That means how long ago? 80 years ago, isn't it? 80 years ago, huh? So today, spread so fast and suffer so much until our Pope, our Blessed Pope, John Paul II, have this courage to spread this divine mercy. Until today, it's so much obstacle. So let us pray. Let us give our hearts to the divine mercy, always. We are one with Jesus Faustina. When we say this prayer, you know, we ask her to intercede for us. We are so weak, sometimes doubtful. We need this kind of, you know, we are sick. We are dying also. Ask her to, she is praying only for, especially for the dying person. We are dying in our soul. We don't believe so much. Ask her to give us this ardent love for Jesus, for Jesus, the Blessed Sacrament, for Jesus. It's by mercy picture.